Welcome back to another edition of the Mindset Entrepreneur Video Podcast. I am your host, Mark Altman. Thank you for joining us today. And I'm here with a very special guest, Greg Armitage of Found Human Recruiting. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Mark.
So, Greg, I really gravitated to your company when I first saw the name, frankly, as a starting point. And I'm sure our audience would be curious how the name Found Human evolved.
Yeah, so we get a lot of comments on it. There's two meanings to it. One is very literal, which is finding human beings, which is what we do, as a core practice. The second one is not so much. It's really about finding your humanity or businesses embracing their humanity and how they do the work and what they bring to the workplace every day.
Greg, I really get that. And I think as corporate structures evolve and as business evolves, understanding motivators and understanding your passion and what kind of gets you to do what you want to do in life seems to be more and more a factor. And it feels like finding your human is representing those qualities. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's about embracing them, you know, really embracing that and letting that be your leader in life with what you do. I tell a lot of people, there's people that will ask me, you know, I'm at a crossroads, what should I do? And my favorite thing to tell anybody ever is that in your lifetime, when you're working, the amount of time that you work, if you don't like what you're doing or if you hate what you're doing, then just go knock off a 7-Eleven. Like, because it's about the same amount of time in jail, and at least you're going to get three squares.
So just so everyone, the views on this program are not necessarily reflective.
Knock off a 7-Eleven. I'm completely metaphoric.
Where's that fine print on the bottom? So anyways.
But it's representative of, like, you got to lead with doing something that you're passionate about. You got to do something that you love that will impact your own life and also will impact others.
So Greg, when it comes to, it really stimulates something for me. You know, when it comes to recruiting, and when you're hiring people as a company and you're looking at skill sets and assessments and are you asking the right questions when you hire, it feels like companies have not evolved into incorporating the elements that you're bringing to the table. And I guess, first of all, do you agree? And B, what are you finding when more and more companies are bringing you in? What are you finding why are some of those attitudes and mentalities still kind of old school? Why haven't those transitions been made?
Yeah, this is something that I think about a lot. This is like, okay, why is this the way that it is?
Yeah.
What I've come up with so far that I believe to be true is that we have amazing entrepreneurs doing amazing things right now. And because of technology, there's just so much more you can even do, which is fantastic. It's like, this is the best time to be alive. So they'll be doing whatever they're good at and focus on that. Now, the problem is that hiring is not easy. It's a simple process, but it's not an easy process. And it's actually a trained skill. This is not something that everybody just has the ability to understand. This is what I want to do, and these are the people that I need to do it, and how that all fits together. And so what ends up happening is these people will focus on what they should be focusing on, which is building their company. The hiring part tends to become an afterthought. Or it's a reaction to certain things, or they might not have the right people that are in charge of it. Either way, it's not taking up front and center brain power for them. So they end up making a lot of mistakes.
You know, Greg, I agree. However, I hear a lot of HR, I hear a lot of CEOs say, well, that's what our HR department's for. You know, we invest all this money and resources and staff and whatever. So what do you say to a CEO who said, oh, no, we're valuing it, Greg. We have an HR department. What's your response to that?
My response would be the reason why Found Human exists, actually. It would be that story. So if I could...
Please, story. Yeah, please. So,
prior to Found Human, we were working on a kind of a tech product, and we were testing it out with different companies. And it was in the recruiting space. It was doing okay, right? But there was a moment where I was speaking with face-to-face with the HR director for one of these companies, and we're talking about certain things, and then she just became emotional. And it was a bit of an awkward moment, probably for both of us, yeah. but, you know, we sat with it and started talking it through. And at the end of the day, what it came up with is, like, you know, this person's really great at leading HR, benefits, all of these kind of things, like the things that you'd expect an HR person to do, but wasn't trained in this, in recruiting. And so was completely overwhelmed to the point where she became emotional to me, and I was not a close person to her. And it was at that moment in time that I realized if I was going to have the impact that I want to have within organizations, what I was doing is not going to be the right way to go. And so that's where we switched gears and Found Human was born. It really was a service kind of consulting type of a product.
So, Greg, let me suggest an analogy just for our viewers, and you tell me if this kind of fits what you were talking about. Yep. So I actually, one of the things we do at Mindset Go is we do professional development for schools, going to teachers and principals so they can better engage and inspire students. And the reason why I bring it up is because what you hear from teachers now more than ever is their roles have expanded. Mm-hmm. So it used to be just you teach and the kids go home, and now they're handling problems from the kids and they're dealing with anxiety and depression and mental health issues in school with kids and stuff they never had to deal with before, or certainly not on the scale they had to deal with it. For HR departments, if you can kind of see where I'm going with this, HR departments, the roles of HR really expanded, mm-hmm. involved. So is it that companies maybe recognize that the expectations and requirements have expanded, but haven't necessarily made the accommodations and adjustments to deal with it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, as I mentioned before, recruiting, it's simple, but it's a sophisticated process.
Right.
You know, the ability or the skill to reduce the overall goals of the company into human beings and then how those beings come together and do these things. The 1+1=3, not yeah. 2.
Mm-hmm.
That's sophisticated. It's hard to do. So yeah, you couple that with the fact that because of technology, things are just moving at a lightning pace now. The types of jobs that even exist within organizations now. I mean, even the camera equipment that we have here is so technical. So it just becomes more and more complex. And these variations between these different jobs and what these people do, the complexity is just compounding over time. And so I think that's part of the reason why HR, as itself, is kind of over its head. I believe that recruiting is a division of HR, but recruiting is very much an aggressive sport. You know, it really is. So it's about really getting out there. I liken it more to sales and more to marketing than I do to HR.
So would you say, Greg, if you're dealing with two different types of clients and one of them has an HR department and one of them does not, should we assume that if there is no HR department, boy, they're really behind the eight ball? Because at least in HR, there's some kind of experience and wherewithal in this space. But with none, then there's someone in that company piecing something together that doesn't even have that level of training. Is that accurate?
No, I don't. Well, it would depend. So for the companies that we typically work with, and we're mostly focused on high growth, early stage, high impact companies.
Okay.
When you're talking about that, you're generally not going to see a HR department.
Okay.
Because it's not really time for an HR department. At that point in time, what's most important is that the founder, the leaders of the organization really understand their why, what they're all about.
Okay.
And so with a company that's 20 people, you don't have enough layers in place where that's going to get diluted. So taking care of your people and helping spread that message, which is the most important piece, that's the glue. That's really the responsibility of the founder, maybe the top leadership team. Once you start getting into layers and layers, and you're going to need a department that can help facilitate that message through, make sure that communication is happening the way that it should.
Hmm.
But recruiting, that is something, depending on the industry that you're in, that is a division of HR, which you really need early on. You need to think about that stuff while you're thinking about how you're going to build your company.
So if I heard you correctly, it almost feels like that was actually really helpful, because it almost feels like HR is an important level, but it's almost secondary. And one of the areas you're really helping those companies in is understanding their why, understanding their values, understanding how to embrace humanity and engage others. And that's got to start at the top, like mm-hmm. you're talking about with leadership. So where most people start with HR, you're saying, no, that's one of the things that differentiates. We know it's got to start at the top. Is that an accurate statement?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
We even developed a whole playbook around it because we knew.
Playbook?
Yeah. So we
want to know about that.
So it's a 4-step process. It's based on agile principles, which is really hot right now. It's a term, Scrum, that people are using a lot, but it's actually really simple. It's learn or understand, and then build, and then measure that. And then it's a continuous flow. So we develop a playbook that embraces those principles. And at the same point, we're working with the leadership team and members of the organization early on to help them embrace their why, what they're doing, what their goals are. So, and then how that's going to distill into the types of people that are going to join their ranks.
Well, and I think that really resonates with me. And I would add one more word for me personally after that, that I as a core value for me, is that's adapt. Mm-hmm. You know, so learn, build, measure, and adapt. And I think it's so critical. And Craig, one of the things that when you first started talking about your company, when I first started to get to know you, is having a process in how you deal with people, that roadmap, that or the playbook, excuse me. Those things are so essential, because whenever I work with a company for any kind of service, I want to know what their process is. I want to be able to set expectations, manage expectations, and know what I'm getting out of it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really effective way. You know, we haven't really touched upon during the show about your background. And I guess I would like to just kind of learn about where all this passion for embracing humanity came from. You know, when you were a kid, you know, where did you have good influences? Like, where did all your passion come from?
Yeah. So, well, some of it is through like the light and good influences, and some of it's through contrast in the dark. And so,
it's very deep.
Yeah. Right. So, So my father was a business owner, you know, and that was very empowering for him. He became a pillar of his community, really propped up this community. And he did that through his business, and you could just see like how much that lit him up. And, you know, I wanted that, and I really admired him for that. And at the same point, like through my own journey, I had, a lot of, you know, this is where you put a beep jobs, right? I had a lot of not great jobs, you know, and I think everybody's been there. I think at some point in time, it probably is a threshold everyone has to cross, is having that not so great job. And it dawned on me, like, okay, this doesn't have to be this way. At the same point, I've always really cared about people. You know, I care about my employees more than I care about most people. You know, I really care about their well-being. And so I thought, if there's a place where we can, I can do my own thing, I can have my own freedom to do my own thing, but at the same point, I can impact people's lives. And I believe there's no greater impact than impacting someone's life at work. Because it just takes up so much of your time. Mm-hmm. And if I can create a pockets or companies and places where people are really enjoying what they're doing, that has an exponential effect. Because if you love what you're doing, then you're going to bring that home to your family. You're going to be a good role model, right? Or you're going to be motivated in your community. If you don't like what you're doing, that's going to have a negative, another effect. So I feel like this is, like, for me, big impact stuff. Even one person impacts so many other people.
Well, you know, Greg, it's funny. One of the ways I'd like to think I've grown as a leader and a manager is, a lot of times when people work for me now, instead of asking what they're good at, I ask, what do you like to do? What would be you engaged and motivated and inspired to do? Because whether you're good at something isn't necessarily relevant to whether you're going to be motivated to do it. So I think that's a great point. So as a kid, you know, I think you had shared with me that creativity was a big piece for you. Just having, and I think, honestly, Greg, I think that's one of the understated pieces of being an entrepreneur. You know, you say how much enjoyment you get out of helping people, but I think it's having the freedom to create your strategy, your approach, your way to helping people. That's nice to have that freedom, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when you can build something out of nothing, and then when you can see that that's had a positive effect on somebody else. I mean, to me, I don't really think there's, aside from my family, I don't really think that there's a greater source of joy.
So I know people come to you because of your expertise. And I guess if there are companies in your wheelhouse sitting out there, and they're wondering whether they should pursue a solution like yours, or whether they already have a good solution in place, what are the things that they should be thinking about from a best practice to kind of check what's the right approach here?
Well, there should be some sort of a, if they're wondering if they could, those are two separate questions, I think. So mm-hmm. if they're wondering if they should use a service like mine, they should be asking themselves, okay, are we getting what we need to get where we need to go? And that sounds a little backwards, but, you know, what do I want to do? And am I getting the right people to get me there? Are people not happy when they show up to work every day? Am I feeling that kind of the energy has dropped and I'm feeling like I'm having to pull versus I'm being pushed? You know, those kind of things. A lot of times it has to do with people. And the people
they don't know though, Greg, what if they can't, they don't have any metrics or KPIs in place to even measure that. What do you say then?
Well, you know, you can develop some pretty simple KPIs, when it comes to the recruiting, you know, if we want, we can get into like the actual recruiting, give some tidbits.
One or two would be good.
So in the world of talent acquisition, you're going to get people from two sources. One, they're going to come to you, or one, you're going to go out and you're going to get them. Both of those need to be measured. Right. So that's why I say recruiting today is more like sales and marketing than it is like anything else. So you need to have a strategy for that.
That's a good analogy.
For the marketing side, it's how are we creating an inbound strategy for our people? Because you're still selling. You're just selling to an inbound crowd, to an internal crowd now. These are your internal customers. So how are you attracting these customers? If you're going out and getting them, what's the messaging you're using? You know, we track everything. When I say everything, I mean everything.
Wow.
Because we use that data to refine our process for each customer. I'll tell a customer, there is no one process. There's no one size fits all because every organization is unique. And so every process is unique. So you need a framework, but your process is going to evolve over time. You just need to have a mechanism in place so that you can measure the performance on that and then make rapid iterations over and over again, whether that be inbound or outbound.
So are there common perceptions in the industry about recruiting companies that, you know, when you walk in the door, you could be the best solution in the world, but people already have assumptions in their mind because you're a recruiting company?
Yeah. Yeah. So recruiting can get kind of a bad rap, right? I think there's some fantastic, just like any business, right? There's some phenomenal solutions out there. There's people that I believe really care about what they do. They're passionate about what they do. And then there's other companies that aren't so much. Recruiters can sometimes, I've heard them be called like one step above a used car salesman. I've heard them like one step below a used car salesman.
The sales and marketing piece.
Right. But I've heard even worse than that, you know, and if you have a LinkedIn account, you can go onto LinkedIn and you'll see some of this stuff. It's a point of contention with people. And for me, I try not to take that personally. And just keep doing what I'm doing. But it is kind of paradoxical to me to see a founder that's knocking like recruiters, but at the same point, it's like, okay, well, this is so important to what you're doing. So yeah, it's something that I kind of struggle with on a weekly basis when I hear something. It makes me cringe.
So before we get to the final segment of the show, which is one of Greg's and Found Human's ultimate differentiators, which is recruiting as a service. Mm-hmm. I just want to say, I want to introduce a new segment, and we're going to call it the Greg Armitage segment.
Uh-oh.
And I'm a big fan of word of the day and paradoxical. I mean, come on, we got to talk about paradoxical. That's a great word. I'm just saying. Okay. So, Greg, recruiting as a service. Can you educate our audience what that is and why it's different and perhaps more valuable than other alternatives?
Yeah. So to date, until... Found Human. There's other companies that are doing something similar to what we do that are out there. Not too many, though, because to date, there's been a couple different solutions for companies, right? You can do it yourself and you can hire some internal staff, and that's a fixed cost. So you're going to have to do that regardless of whether you're going up or down. Or you can go out to like the agency world, which is a fee-based system, which scales nicely, but it's not going to provide you any guidance. It's not going to provide you any knowledge that you need to grow. There's no management involved in that, and it's super expensive. And so both of these have had their flaws. So recruiting as a service, at its core, what we are is we are a recruiting department on demand. So any company that needs to accomplish goals through people, right, through bringing on people, can engage with us. We become their recruiting department. Or if they already have a recruiting department, we can become an extension of that department working on a specific group within the company.
And so do you ever encounter, because I know in my line of work, whenever I go in and do consulting or training with companies, sometimes there's a a trepidation because people think, well, if they're bringing someone else in, I'm not doing my job or I'm going to lose my job. If you're brought in a situation, do you ever encounter and people having fears because, wow, why are they bringing, especially if there's an HR department in place? And how do you assuage those fears when you face them, if you face them?
Yeah, well, that's just, you know, we have a, there's a core acronym that we live by in our company. The acronym is TEAM. So, and it stands for transparency, empathy, authenticity, and mission. Okay, so when we're dealing with these kind of things, that's where empathy kicks in. A lot of times when we're getting that kind of a resistance, most of the time it's going to come from HR, from like an HR director or something like that. A lot of times it's because HR people just don't really understand how important they are. We do. Like, I understand exactly how important they are and how critical they are to what they do, but they don't. So that's where the feeling of being threatened is. So that's why they've become our best friends. You know, our goal is to partner with them and to elevate them so that you can see the heroes that they are, I mean, that they have in the organization. So we handle this piece. And yeah, so that's where that happens. A lot of times, though, we don't really run into that because we're usually partnering with companies that don't even have an HR department yet.
So, but with that said, so you're more of a support system than a replacement.
For HR departments?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not a replacement to, we're not even a replacement to an existing recruiting department. There's many companies that have existing recruiting departments that we work with, and they just needed a, either a specialization within technology, you know, like we do a lot with emerging technologies. So they don't have that knowledge set yet. So we can come in and we can work with them while doing the work ourselves. So we'll basically be an offshoot. Yeah. So we're very malleable, you know.
Well, and I just wanted to share that with our audience because I think it's important if people are having those misconceptions out there. I just wanted to give you a chance to kind of explain how you do approach that process so they wouldn't exist.
Yes. We're not looking to take a job. We want to make it better.
Love it. Beautiful. So, Craig, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate having you on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Yep. So, well, thank you all for joining us for another edition of the Mindset Entrepreneur Video Podcast. On behalf of video extraordinaire Peter Stassa, I'm your host, Mark Altman, and we'll see you next time.